Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button today and joining us. Today's topic is one that perhaps you've had a little experience with. It's called 9 Ways to Conquer Criticism. 9 Ways to Conquer Criticism. When was the last time you were criticized and the event was over, yet still existed between your two ears for quite some time past the original event? Criticism is a slippery little serpent that, if we're not careful to guard our hearts, we could easily get hijacked by the behavior and reactions of people and circumstances around us. The learning objective for today is to truly lean into and to recognize the value of specific behaviors that will help you move through criticism successfully, more today than yesterday. At Edge God In, one of our missions is to champion your human potential in Christ. One of our foundational verses is Galatians 5:1, which says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery." Wow, criticism can be a very heavy yoke. If you happen to be a human being tuning in today, you know what I'm talking about here. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us and guide us through this experience. And with all these podcasts that you listen to at Edge God In, and perhaps this is the first one that you're listening to, please visit us at edgegodin.com. You will find a one sheet that you can download to capture your learnings, to not only capture your learnings, but it also guides you through a learning process to help you transfer what you learn into your behavior so you actually start to see a difference. So it's not just a podcast that you just happen to listen to and you forget about within 24 hours. This gives you the opportunity to really capture what the Holy Spirit wants you to capture, to draw you closer to the love of Christ, which transforms even our darkest shadows inside the castle. So let's begin. In the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity to really take a good look at criticism, as well as how it bruises us in our mind. We give it so much power, criticism so much power, that sometimes we're so afraid to speak up or speak the truth in love because we're afraid of criticism. We're afraid of someone else expressing disapproval based on their own perceived perceptions or how they see us in life. One of the things, Lord, that is important for us to remember about you, and this is what was spoken about you in the Gospels, is that you weren't confined by status or the opinions of other people. And so much criticism can flow into both of those buckets, status and the opinions of other people. What people think about us. Give us the strength of discernment, Lord, to take what belongs to us to guide us closer to you. Holy Spirit, you are always after the bigger lesson. Help us not to fear criticism, but to actually have a strong, courageous mindset, not of timidity, but of power, love, your love, Lord, and self-discipline against negative thinking so that we can get the lesson past the Earth School class and therefore not fear what other people say or do. Give us the strength not to fear criticism. Now moving forward, we love you, Lord. We want more of you today than yesterday. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. 9 Ways to Conquer Criticism. Let's jump in. The first way to conquer criticism comes in the form of an invitation from Jesus. Matthew 10:28, don't be afraid of men. Don't be afraid of man or the person that could actually kill the body, Jesus says, but fear the one that can actually throw you into hell, that can actually take your soul. Fear that one. Don't be afraid of men. Don't fear men. we're also reminded in Galatians 1:10, am I now trying to win the approval of man or of God? Or am I still trying to please men? Trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or are you still trying to please people around you? Are you still trying to, or are you still compromising yourself? Think about the last week. How much of your headspace was taken up, 0 to 100%? What percentage comes up for you when you think about this question? How much of your headspace was taken up thinking about what other people think about you or what they said, and if it was a criticism or a perceived criticism that someone else said to you? How long do you hold on to that? What percentage just camps right on top of that criticism? I know for myself, I've been 99% camped out on the criticism for several days. I've lost the opportunity to show up being present to God and seeing what he has for me in that day because I'm still camping in the past on a criticism that someone said. How about for you? What does that look like for you? Our first way to conquer criticism is to confess and acknowledge it. You know what? My name's Lauren, and I'm totally giving power to somebody else's opinion about me. And therefore, or I'm compromising, stepping up when I feel the promptings of the Holy Spirit asking me to say something, and I'll step back and shrink back because I'm afraid of man, of people around me. The definition of criticism is the expression of disapproval of someone based on perceived faults or mistakes. So it's an expression coming from another human being who's disapproving about something you've said or doing. When we understand that everybody has a different human operating system, when we understand that the people who push our buttons are our greatest teachers, actually, because they reveal where we're stuck. When somebody criticizes you and you believe it, you basically give it free rent between your two ears, or you only feel inferior by your own consent, or you've left the drawbridge of your heart down. This person has tromped in with muddy boots into your heart by something they've said or criticized you about, and you've given them free access by a consent form signed by you. You only feel inferior by your own consent. So if you truly up your game and remember whose you are, oh, wait a second, it's not about me, what other people think of me, how people respond to me. It's about how I'm showing up for Christ because I'm his ambassador. He's making his appeal through me. Help me to remember, Lord, so I'm not afraid that I'm not my own. I'm here for you, not me. There's another verse in the Bible that says, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. We'll remember that one a little bit later on. But for now, Galatians 1:10 speaks of, am I trying to win the approval of man or of God? Or am I still trying to please men? Don't be afraid. That's the first way to conquer criticism. Don't give more authority to man than to the power of God within you. And his discernment, by the way. The Holy Spirit will give you discernment. Number two, know what's real and what's imagined. I wrote an article called Two Questions to Ask Yourself When You're Spun. Two questions to ask yourself when you find yourself being spun in life. Know what's real, know what's imagined, and be to a good look at that. Because what we start to do when we make assumptions based on somebody's behavior or what they said about us, it creates the perfect storm. And we read fortune tell, we start making beliefs about ourselves that are not based in truth. They're based in falsehood. The other question to ask yourself is, what's mine and what's someone else's? Now, these two questions come from Lights on Leadership, a training from Clarity that I use with clients. These are two of the most powerful questions that I've learned and teach, simply because it gives you that ability to push the brakes on your thinking. And in neuroscience, they refer to that as top-down control versus bottom-up thinking. Bottom-up thinking catastrophizes. I refer to it as Gollum in the cave. It causes you to start making negative beliefs about yourself as quickly as possible when you're criticized. You want to get back to top-down control. Now, I find it, I've mentioned this before, I think it's so cool that in neuroscience, they're actually subliminally suggesting that there is a greater power because they refer to it as top-down control. Heck yeah, it is top-down control, because when God is driving your bus, you are driven with confidence and love and humility. There's no need to compare yourself to someone else. There's no need to take what anyone says personally. You can simply have the same posturing of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was not confined by the opinions of other people or status. And so when you ask yourself these two questions, the next time that you are camping on top of criticism, one, ask yourself, what is real about this situation and what's imagined? Because the mind will immediately, as soon as you feel threatened, start to create story. So you want to get off that stage as quickly as possible. This coaching question to ask yourself is a very quick way to get out of the basement of your mind, or Gollum in the cave clinging to the ring of someone's criticism. Take a deep breath, get off that stage, and kind of look at what's going on and ask yourself, what is real? What is a fact that I know? And what's imagined? That will give you that clarity of focus. Psalm 32, which is absolutely one of my favorite Psalms, 10 through 11 says, "He who trusts in and relies on the Lord shall be surrounded with compassion and loving kindness." When you feel criticized, many times you are not kind and compassionate to yourself. You will give power to people's words to define your worth and your value. The question, know what's real and know what's imagined, this will give you the opportunity to get off the stage of the drama and to remember, the Lord is with me. His kindness and compassion surrounds me. So you don't have to be threatened. You can be in a learner's mindset, or that top-down control that evokes or ignites what's referred to as executive thinking, that solution-based thinking. That's where you'll be able to put the criticism in context rather than camping on criticism. So what's mine and what's someone else's is the second question, coaching question to ask yourself. What's mine and what's someone else's? Does this criticism belong to me? Is there something for me in this? Or does this belong to the person that sent it? Is there something I did in my behavior that really is an opportunity for me to be accountable for? Or is this coming from somebody else's experience, filters, knowledge, values, and conclusions about life, and I'm just in the way? They're going green, and I just happen to be the trigger that's triggering them. I'll often say, not my circus, not my monkey. My dear friend reminded me of that when I was going through some difficult times. Just to have a phrase, a fun phrase to remember, don't touch, like Paul says, do not touch, do not taste. This is all destined to perish with use. If you camp on top of criticism, you're giving power to somebody else's words to define what you're capable of handling in Christ. You've been hijacked. And Satan is huge. He's the great accuser and the great confuser. So anytime you feel confused or accused, just know who's behind that stone throwing. James 1 through 5 says, ask God for wisdom, and he will give it generously. So if you're confused about a situation or a criticism, Lord, help me to see clearly. What's real here? What's mine? Perhaps you'll hear nothing. This has nothing to do with you. The Holy Spirit will give you that prompting. Shake it off. This is not yours. This belongs to someone else's. If you pick it up, you'll get burnt. Do not touch. Do not taste. So that's the second way to conquer criticism. Again, to recap, the first way is don't be afraid of men. Don't fear people around you. God is with you. You're trying to win the approval of men or of God? You're trying to please people? You can't do both. You're a servant of Christ. Don't fear men. God is with you. Confess and acknowledge his name, Matthew 10:32. When you confess and acknowledge Jesus' name in a situation, he will confess and acknowledge yours. meaning he will protect you, as we read in the second step, or the second way to conquer criticism, in Psalm 32. He who trusts in and relies on the Lord. Next time you criticize, trust in and rely on the Lord. Make the Lord the first person you go to, the first place you camp. Rather than camping on the criticism, camp on the Lord. Put all of your trust in him. And he will surround you. This is a promise, so claim it. Surround me with compassion and loving kindness, Lord, right now, because I'm feeling attacked. Surround me with compassion and kindness, because I'm being attacked, and I want to do a good job in this situation. I don't want them going green to cause me to go green. One of my favorite shows growing up was with Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno, the Hulk. And he went green because of the exterior environment. When he felt threatened, he would go green very quickly. And same thing can happen to us if we're not careful. So first thing, don't fear men. Second way, ask yourself the two coaching questions. What's real? What's imagined? What's mine? What's someone else's? You can Google that article as well if you want more information on that step. It's called two questions to ask yourself when you are spun. Lauren E. Miller. The third way to conquer criticism is to watch out for pride and gossip flare-ups. Look out, manage your own pride. This is EQ. This is emotional intelligence. Watch out for your own pride, because anger triggers anger. And accusation triggers accusation. This is Satan's greatest tool these days. He's just flaring up that anger and accusation left and right. Do not touch, do not taste. These are all destined to perish with use. Watch out for pride and gossip flare-ups. Perhaps you might ask when somebody criticizes you, if you know that pride's showing up, because you might say something like, how could they say that about me? How could they possibly say something like that about me? That's not true. And we'll get defensive. If you get defensive, just know that pride is driving your bus to be on the defense. Wisdom is calm and confident. Wisdom from God. James 1:5, ask God for wisdom and he will give it to you. Give me wisdom in this situation, Lord, so that I don't step in. And I've shared this story before, but when I competed for the Colorado State Championship, I'd been practicing 4 hours a day, 6 days a week for about a year. Stepped in the ring with my first opponent, who proceeded to do an illegal move, right? Back hook kick to my head, and I was knocked out flat in the ring within the first minute of the competition, after I'd been practicing my skill set and tools for almost a year. I was flat knocked out in the ring within the first minute. I came back, though, about four, when he was counting down, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Don't wait that long, by the way, when you're knocked out of the game because of somebody's criticism towards you. I waited, my body needed till about four, and then I came back, and I wasn't coming at this person anymore in a calm, confident manner. In my skill set, I was street fighting. I ended up getting a medal, the silver medal. However, my trainer reminded me very wisely that I had lost, because I fought with emotion and my ego and my pride rather than my skill set, and delivering the skill set. We have skill sets as followers of Christ. He is our teacher. He's our authority in our behavior. And when we follow his lead versus our own lead, then we're able to see clearly and move and live and have our being from a place of peace that passes all human understanding. Even in the midst of criticism, this is possible. Because our first reaction when we're reacting versus responding in Christ is to come out of the gate hot, just like I did. And I ended up like street fighting, getting my points from my own might and my own power, rather than God's might and power. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, Zechariah 4:6. Too often when we're in pride and gossiping and fighting mode, it's by our own power and might. There's another podcast, if you haven't listened to it, that addresses that, that addresses the might and the power of God versus our own power. And when I'm able to get on there, I'll let you know which one that is, because it's a powerful one to listen to, because it reminds you that you're not fighting with your own might, but God's might. It's called How to Up Your Game in God's Might. So when you have pride and gossip flare-ups, that's a good one to listen to. But it's our third way to conquer criticism, is watch out for pride and gossip flare-ups. Replace it with humility. James 4:6, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Dear God, more of you, less of me. Keep watch on me, Lord, because I'm about to come out hot at this person. And I want to be able to pass this Earth School class because I'm thinking it's about me. And it's never about me. You have stepped in that gap. The insults of those who insult me have fallen on you. I am your ambassador. How do you want me to respond to this? Now, I'm reading through the book of Numbers, and there is an awesome, awesome description of what this looks like in the book of Numbers, chapter 23 and 24. Actually, 22, 23, and 24, I'm thinking about making a Bible study. But simply put, the donkey ends up talking to Balaam. Balaam, God talks to Balaam and is asking Balaam to do something. He ignores it, gets up, and does it his own way. In this third way to conquer criticism, that's what happens. No, God, I got this. I got to handle this because you're not big enough to handle this. So I got to take over. And that's a pride. And then gossip comes along with it, with anger, frustration, all kinds of going green behavior. So as you're, perhaps if you want more in that area, just read chapter 23, 24, and 25. You can read the story of when the donkey talked. Actually, 22, 23, and 24. It's incredible. But as you're reading through there, notice what happened as a result of Balaam not listening to God and going his own way. And then when the donkey talked to him and he kind of woke up out of his own selfishness and pride, he said, I know I've sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in my way. God sent an angel to impact him and open the mouth of the donkey. But now if my God, my going displeases you, I'll turn back. So God then said, no, don't turn back. Keep going forward. Go with men, but you shall speak only what I tell you. And it says several times in chapter 23, the Lord put the words in Balaam's mouth, the speech in his mouth. Don't rely on your own efforts and wisdom. Believe me, I've done it enough times and fallen flat on my face. Then you won't conquer the criticism. The criticism will conquer you. And you'll be in a very dark place because you'll be ruminating, you'll camp on top of criticism, and you'll be ineffective in allowing the Lord's love and compassion to shine through you in this world. So watch out for pride and gossip, flare-ups. Camp on Christ. Camp on his positionality, his humility, because God gives grace to the humble. And ask for him to give you the words to say when you're criticized. Do you want me to say anything right now? Because there's Proverbs that says sometimes if you say something, it might put burning coals on their head if it's a well-positioned word, that a word of knowledge that you'll speak to that person. But sometimes you'll hear nothing, that God doesn't want you to speak anything, that there's be silence. So ask for that wisdom. That's the third step. Watch out for pride and gossip flare-ups. The solution, ask for wisdom and be humble. The third way to conquer criticism is don't one-up people. That means don't criticize back. And we've kind of mentioned this before, but it's a way and a step in and of itself. It's a way of responding versus reacting. Don't one-up it. This is what it looks like. I can't believe that you did this, this, and this, right? Someone comes to you, then you one-up them. Well, that doesn't compare to what you did to me. That one-upping is literally the playground of Satan. He's just throwing money on that game. Resist the urge to one-up other people. Have nothing to do in 2 Timothy 2:23. This is our wisdom from the Word. Have nothing to do with foolish and stupid arguments. That's what one-upping does. It creates arguments because they produce quarrels. They produce the quarrels. And God's people are called to be humble, compassionate, kind, loving, generous, wise, speaking the truth in love, being as wise as a serpent, as innocent as a dove. Allow the Lord to give you that peace again. Be still and know that God is God. He's got your back. You don't have to one-up and prove yourself. Believe me, this is how I got knocked out in the first place, because I was relying on my own might and effort. That's step four, or way four, to conquer criticism. Don't one-up other people. Resist that urge and have nothing to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Walk away. I've been known to put my hand over my mouth and walk out of the room with my husband so that I don't one-up him, because I'm very prideful. And if I don't surrender myself to Christ, then the negative behavior will always flow from a foundation of pride. So the fifth way to conquer criticism is to step away from assuming the criticism is right or wrong. This is you making a judgment back right away, a snap judgment, that what you say is true about me. It's giving power to the spoken word that someone else says. So again, step away, get off the stage of drama, of the criticism, take a deep breath. Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what's for me here? Is there anything for me here? Because I'm assuming that what they say is right or wrong, either way. Invite that wisdom, Holy Spirit, help me to hold on to what is mine and release what's not. This step, or this way, is a profound place to pause to help you to conquer criticism, is to step away from assuming the criticism is correct, is right about you, or that it's wrong. Stay neutral. Get off the stage of the drama. Ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom and discernment, because in step two, we learned in James 1:5, ask for that wisdom and he'll give it generously. Problem is when we're spun and we're in bottom-up thinking, we only have three choices: fight, flight, or freeze. And ugly behavior flows from that, because the stress hormone is driving the bus. When it's the top-down control, then we have that deep breath. We remember, that's right. It's not about me. It's about you, God. How do you want me to respond here? Help me to step away from assuming it's right or wrong. This is the step of discernment. Five. Step five, or way five, is the step of discernment. Proverbs 17:28, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongue. So even fools, in Proverbs 17:28, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent. Let the silence do the heavy lifting. Let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting in that silence. Proverbs 17:28, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongue. There are other podcasts on Edge Got In about the power in the tongue to curse or to bless. You have that power. It's a very, very powerful muscle. And unless it's controlled and guided by the Holy Spirit, it could literally set a whole forest on fire by one or two words. So remember in step five, or way five, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent and discerning if they hold their tongue. Discernment drops in silence. Expand the gap between what that person has said to you before reacting to the email, reacting to the text, reacting to the post. There's so many different ways that people can criticize these days. Step away. Take a deep breath. And allow discernment to drop in. This is the fifth way to conquer criticism. The sixth way to conquer criticism is to forgive and release the person who's criticized you right away, quicker today than yesterday. Lord, I forgive them for saying this against me. I pray that you bless them and protect them. What is this doing? This is following Jesus' lead. Pray for those who persecute you. And you will be blessed. This is a very powerful prayer when someone is stuck in that place of resentment. Praying for the person that's persecuting you allows the Holy Spirit to do that mighty work of release in your life. It's for you, not them. They have that same opportunity as well. In this situation, you forgive and release the person who's criticized you as quickly as possible. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Whatever grievances you have against one another, forgive and release. So the sixth way is to forgive and release as quickly as possible. The seventh way to conquer criticism is to ask questions for clarity. Ask questions for clarity. After you've discerned, after you've given time to allow the emotions to calm down, and so that you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you, giving you wisdom that you're seeking, and you've stepped away from one-upping behavior, now you're in a position to ask questions. After you've had that space, getting off the stage and just kind of taking a look at it from an objective centered point of view, ask the questions or ask the Holy Spirit, is there any question that I can ask here for clarity? Because oftentimes when people criticize, they're moving from emotions. So it doesn't contain a full model of reality. The criticisms often do not contain a full model of reality. They will distort, delete, and generalize information and leave key pieces out that are not based in truth. That's why the second way is to ask what's real and what's imagined. What's real, what's imagined? Asking questions in the seventh way to conquer criticism is a very powerful way to hunt and gather that information that perhaps is being overlooked. And it also gives an opportunity for accountability, for the person to be accountable for their criticism. An experience that I had one time in seventh grade, I was being teased by two girls back in seventh grade, and my heart was really broken over this. And they wrote some really nasty things on my locker, and I'll never forget this. My mom said to me, you know, you only feel inferior by your own consent. What do you want to do about this? So I remember exactly, I was wearing my red and blue striped sweater. That's how profound this memory was. And I remember one of the girls was by herself walking in the hallway in junior high. And I literally remember asking God for strength. And I went up to her and I talked to you. And she was kind of shocked. And we went in the typing room. So I'm aging myself here. We didn't have computers. We had typewriters. And I went into the typing room and I remember asking her, What is it? What did I do that caused you to write those bad words on my locker? And she was shocked that I even approached her because of the criticism that she sent my way. It wasn't based in reality or anything that I had done or didn't do. It had everything to do with her triggers. And it was hers, not mine, to be accountable for in that situation. Now, there's been plenty of times when I'm accountable for things, but that's a story where asking a question gave me clarity and offered an opportunity for accountability on the part of the person that was criticizing. So God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. It takes courage to ask the question of someone who's criticizing you in a calm, confident manner. Psalm 107:30, God didn't, and Psalm 107:30 is actually, I'm looking at my notes here, I'm getting a little confused. That's the next one. This one is 2 Timothy 1:7. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So ask questions for clarity is the seventh way to conquer criticism. The eighth way to conquer criticism is to, and you've heard me say it, remain centered and objective. This is one of my favorite Sherpa executive coaching attributes as a coach, as a human being, to remain centered and objective. Now, let's take that word centered a little bit deeper. Centered on self? No. Centered on my positionality? No. Centered on what I think, what I want, what I need? No. But those are the areas that we go. We're called to be centered on Christ. To camp on Christ, not criticism. So as you camp on Christ, you remain centered and objective. How is this possible? 1 Peter 4:14 says, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory in God rests upon you. So if there is a behavior that the Holy Spirit wants you to be accountable for, ask that right away, so that you can be centered and objective. Lord, I'm confident that I can face any criticism because I'm going to go to you first, so that I'm centered and objective, and I can ask you, what do you want me to keep? What do you want me to release? And what's the lesson for me? If it's simply forgive and release might be the response you will hear. Remaining centered and objective allows you to tune into top-down control. Basically, to hear God's voice behind you saying, no, don't go that way. This is the way. Walk in this way. Don't give them free stage time between your two ears. Don't give them free rent, their words free rent, time to evict. You get to identify, adjust, and release whatever you desire to do in the name of Christ. Because that name of Christ cast out demons, made the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the dead rise from the grave. And that same Spirit lives in you. God's got you. So you can be centered and objective. The ninth way to conquer criticism and final way to conquer criticism is another Sherpa executive coaching tool that I absolutely love. It's called separate the person from the issue. Remaining centered and objective is an attribute, actually not a tool, but an attribute from Sherpa executive coaching. And that's like a stepping stone. That allows you, when you're centered and objective in your posturing with anybody that criticizes you, to separate the person from the issue, to ask yourself, what's really going on here? What's this really about? And bringing that question before the Lord. In Ecclesiastes 7:21-22, it says, do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear someone cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you've cursed others. The people that push your buttons are your greatest teachers. They reveal where you're stuck. So this is that part where Jesus was saying, first remove the log from your own eye so you can remove the speck in somebody else's eye. So when you separate the person from the issue, you can really say, okay, what's the issue here? What's this person really upset about in my behavior? So that gets you off the stage rather than making it personal. Separate the person from the behavior. That's like that statement I remember reading in a parenting book is, you love your child, you don't love the behavior. You always love your child, and so make sure to communicate that. Same thing here, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. How? The ninth way to conquer criticism, separate the person from the issue. What's really going on here? What does this really look like? And dear God, how do you want me to respond to this situation or to this person? Let's sum it up. So we have nine ways to conquer criticism. The first way, don't be afraid of people. Don't fear people, fear God. Confess, acknowledge when you do fear people. Dear God, I'm afraid, help me. Give me the grace to move through this because I want to seek your approval over the approval of men. The second way to conquer criticism, know what's real, what's imagined. What's yours and what's someone else's? Those are two coaching questions to ask yourself. Ask God for wisdom, James 1:5, and he'll give it to you generously. The third way to conquer criticism, watch out for pride flare-ups and gossiping that comes from pride. You need to be right, liked, and understood. Know that James 4:6, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. In order to have that confidence-centered, objective posturing, it's important for us to get off the stage of the drama as quickly as possible. Take back the power you're giving to that criticism and give the power back to God in a place of humility. What they said, Lord, it really hurt my feelings, and I'm having a hard time letting go of this. Please help me. Help me to do a good job. I want to pass this or a school class because I want to be free from criticism. I'm reminded of a prayer I began to pray About 10 years ago, dear God, protect me from compliments and complaints so that my heart will stay grounded in the mission for which it beats. Can you imagine the freedom if you woke up tomorrow and you didn't care what people thought in a godly way, not in a prideful way, but it truly didn't matter what other people thought, because the only thing that matters is what God thinks and faith expressing itself through love in your behaviors. So the ninth way is to watch out for those pride and gossip flare-ups. Ask God to help you to stay humble so that you can be, the smaller you are, the smaller I am, the bigger God becomes. The fourth way to conquer criticism is avoid one-upping and criticizing. One-upping and criticizing back. How could they possibly criticize me? Don't they know who they're talking about? I'm the expert in this place. So this is a great opportunity to ask the Lord to sift you and reveal to you where pride has taken camp inside of you and causing you to really allow your body to flare up and your mind to flare up from your own might and wanting to defend yourself or your positionality. It's not about you, not about me. It's about God and what he wants to do through us to make his appeal to the world. And from a place of forgiveness. So have nothing to do with foolish, stupid arguments, as St. Paul says, because they produce quarrels. The fifth way to conquer criticism, step away from assuming the criticism is right or wrong. Hold on to what you need, release the rest. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you with this. Proverbs 17, fools are thought wise if they keep silent and discerning if they hold their tongues. You are wise and discerning when you allow the silence to do the heavy lifting. That's another phrase we use at a Sherpa executive coaching. Don't jump in. Allow the Holy Spirit to do the heavy lifting in silence. The sixth way to conquer criticism is to forgive and release the person who criticized you. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have, Colossians 3:13. The seventh way to conquer criticism, ask questions for clarity. God didn't give you a spirit of timidity. If this is an accountability opportunity, ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and the words to say. Just like Balaam was told by God, I will put the words in your mouth. I will put words in your mouth. So don't worry about what to say. Ask for that wisdom. The eighth way to conquer criticism is to remain centered and active. This can only happen with the help of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, help me to only care about one thing. If I am in that place of being able to have one attachment, my heart to yours, to be attentive to what do you want me to say here? How do you want me to respond to this person? You love this person. Even in the midst of ugly behavior, God loves us. He sees us for who we desire to be rather than how our behavior shows up. He calls us to do the same for each other. So remain centered and objective in Christ. Centered. The ninth and last way, as we close this podcast up, is to separate the person from the issue. Do not take to heart all the things that people say. Lest you hear someone cursing you, your heart knows that many times you've cursed other people. Separate the person from the issue. You want to get off the stage of the drama. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what is real? What's imagined? What's mine? What's someone else's? Help me to separate this person so I don't judge the person and I can love the person and love my enemies and pray for those who persecute me. Man, that's a total job with the Holy Spirit, because we have so much innate pride and ego that wants to protect our positionality and who we are. We think we need to defend God. When the smaller we become, the more we pour out ourselves into the heart of Christ and allow his love to replace our limitations, then we're able to be free, truly free. Separate the person from the issue. Proverbs 29:11, a short-sighted fool always loses his temper and displays anger, but a wise man uses self-control and holds it back. That's separating the person from the issue. Again, this is a job for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we need your help with these areas. It's so easy for us to just be hijacked when someone says something negative about us, or we even see someone outside of us being unjustly accused, and all of a sudden we make it our own criticism as if it's against ourselves, and we allow ourselves to completely lose it, emotionally speaking. You call us to remain in a place of love and confidence. You didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but a power of love and self-discipline. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And we will be held accountable for every thoughtless word spoken. So we give you authority to override our emotions and give us the grace to step off of the stage of the drama of criticism and to implement these ways. Perhaps there's one or two or three ways that's really touched somebody's heart today. I pray that they'll listen to this podcast again and just grab it and toss it before you. What do you want me to do with this, Lord? Because I'm guilty of making this personal. How can I get off the stage so that I can love those who persecute me and pray for those who I think are my enemies in this world, so that I make you recognizable? It's not about me, Lord. It's about you. Give us the strength to step away from fearing people, rejection, fearing failure, and criticism of other people of what we do. This is truly one of the biggest, biggest fears that Satan uses to hold us back. It snares us in life. Give us the strength to rise up and conquer in your name, in your mighty name, emotional reactions that we have to criticism of other people or criticism from other people. Give us the strength to resist the urge to criticize another human being. We give you permission to enter in because you stand at the door of our heart, knocking, wanting to deliver us so that we can be free, so that we can run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Come into our hearts, Lord. Be the Lord of our hearts, the Lord of our minds, the Lord of our responses to life. Help us to not take things personally, particularly in the area of criticism. Give us victory, Lord. Thank you for victory. Thank you that victory is ours. Because when we take our eyes away from the snake and we lift them to the cross, something miraculous happens. That which was a burden to us, the yoke of slavery, is now lifted. It is for freedom that you have set us free. Give us the strength not to be burdened by the yoke of slavery in the area of criticism. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, give them heaven out there. There's enough of the other side going on. Be intentional about choosing Christ, choosing his love, asking for his wisdom. Resist the urge to even step out of any boat that you happen to be sailing through this life with without keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. I look forward to our next podcast. Join us at Edge God In Podcast. Or if you go to edgegodin.com, you can click on the tab that says Join Podcast so that you get reminders of when we release another one. We're working on a course that we're putting together as well at Edge God In. And thank you for your time and attention to the teachings of the Lord. Write down 1 to 3 things that you would like to transfer into your behavior and be intentional about that. Keep that in front of you. Put it by your bedside and review it 1 or 2 times. Simply doing that will up your ability to transfer it into your behavior and see the impact of more surrendering to Christ today than yesterday. Enjoy your gift of life today. Look forward to our next podcast.